tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
I'm smiling, but
tuning in to the online broadcast network.
AfterBuzz
TV. Hey, oh, there it is.
They just really wanted people to know. We're here. We're
it's still
back.
AfterBuzz TV.
We are at AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah, we are.
Don't be fooled by the Imperial March.
I think it's kind of hard to fool people with the Imperial March.
Yeah. But it makes everyone sad and miserable.
It scares the hell out of everyone.
What a perfect song for the premiere of season two. Right? It just kind of embodies everything that we're in for right now.
So,
right?
And we've seen this twice now, and it's just as crazy the second time.
We all watched this at Star Wars Celebration, and I don't know if you guys follow us or not, but if you did, you would have saw our reaction after we watched it.
we were tweeting pictures.
There's a
wonderful picture of us with these awful faces, and it's in the ABTV Rebels hashtag, and that's how we look when we're watching things go down.
Oh my god.
People are dead now.
I've
said that before.
A lot of them were voiced by Steve Bloom.
It was a wild ride. They hit the ground running with this season two premiere. So,
and dragged us all behind them.
Yeah. So let's get this going. Hey, guys, welcome back. Welcome back to the Star Wars Rebels AfterBuzz TV After Show, where we're going to talk about season two premiere, The Siege of Lothal. Oh, my God.
It has been
so
long.
I missed this show so much.
I mean, we've been gone for a while now, guys. Thanks for coming back. If you watched our season one coverage, thank you. Thank you for coming back. I'm Dylan Chance, and with me, my lovely co-hosts are Megan Salinas.
Hey, guys. You can tweet at me at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin.
And Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. I'm on Twitter at Kiaxet. That's KIAXET. And I am keeping track of the hashtag today. It is hashtag EBTVRebels. If you want to join in, say something pithy, have a good question, you might get a shout-out on air.
Or if you just want to express your feelings.
Yes. Feelings expression is super valid.
And you can find me on Twitter at Dylan Chance, but let's get this started. Because there's so much to talk about, you guys.
Yes, there is.
Did everyone feel like they got punched in the heart this episode? Was
it
just me?
Absolutely. I know we've talked a little bit about our Star Wars Celebration coverage.
Yeah.
But one of the things that the producer said going into season two of Rebels was that season one was essentially A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And that this season two is essentially going to be The Empire Strikes Back.
So who's going to lose a hand?
Somebody.
Let's take bets now. Who's losing a hand in this one?
Kanan?
he got in the shoulder.
Yeah. Ezra.
Close. Ooh, that'd be cool.
Given the concept art we've seen for episode 7 and the theory surrounding it, could be Ezra.
Nice. Huh? But, I mean, I think tone-wise, that really fits this introduction.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming back into the
How
show.
How did we start Empire? Remember? Hoth.
Yeah.
Vader showing up.
Exactly.
Vader kicking them all out of their little safe base. Vader's saying, okay, good, now we got your gun, now I'm going to come after you again.
Yep.
Just like this. This is how it started. We start off, and it's just right in the action. We are right in the middle of, like, a fun little rebel space battle with the Imperials.
And it's fun because it's like, it's even though we're thrown right into the action, it still has that kind of lighthearted fun to it because they're winning.
Right.
They're doing really well now that they actually have people backing them up.
Yeah, it hadn't hit the serious part yet.
Well, you can't start right off with serious business. This is, you know, a, what, 9-13 show?
Yeah.
You gotta throw them a bone before you crush everyone's heart.
Right. So they were, like, making sweet moves, and Hera's, like,
don't
blasting everyone. Hey, yeah, we got this. We're gonna steal some Imperial cargo. All right, let's jump out of here. And that was, like, almost a flawless mission. It was great. Then, this is where it starts to get real.
It's been real for about a season.
We see Minister Tua there hanging out, talking to Agent Callus. We got Agent Callus back. Minister Tua back.
Agent Burnsides.
Yeah. Giving us a little...
Agent Sideburns. That will never not amuse me. No matter how serious the show gets, his facial hair will always entertain me.
Those sideburns are groovy.
He just has a landing strip that he has no hair on, and the rest of it's like, whoa.
Don't make fun of him. Maybe he can't grow facial hair. Besides, like, chops.
It's just in patches.
If that's... Then why would you just... This little strippy... It's like the opposite of the Hitler stash. This is the only place that's shaved, and everything else is... Yeah. No.
You know.
Poor facial
whatever planet
hair
he's
choices.
From, man, that's the new hip thing.
He just makes poor choices.
Maybe.
He just does. But facial hair just happens to be one of them.
I don't know. It sounded cool. Like they were on a roll this episode.
That's
yeah.
True.
Well, I don't think that was really him.
No, that was mostly Vader, but...
Right after Tua and Kallus are speaking for a little bit. And she's going, oh, I've done everything I can. I put in curfews. I doubled the troops. Like, what am I supposed to do?
I'm only an elected official.
Problem.
I can't make decisions by myself.
Boom. Darth Vader walks in the door. That's the problem.
Yeah.
What did he say? I wrote it down.
Because she's like, I don't have experience with such brutal tactics.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can explain that to Tarkin.
Yeah. He told her she lacked imagination.
Which,
she still has basic human empathy. I mean, she works for the Empire, but she's more of a lawful neutral. Mm-hmm. She just kind of allied to the wrong lawful.
She's a bureaucrat. She's just doing her job. Yeah. And I know we've talked about this before, but... And I don't want to make excuses for her and her life choices.
Right.
But I really felt bad for her this entire episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can kind of see the noose tightening a little bit prior
A little bit?
Yeah. Well, like...
I'm sorry, we had the snap on this one.
Well, it also goes into, if you guys remember in season one, the last time someone failed Tarkin...
Heads roll.
Yes,
heads roll.
Literally.
And Darth Vader walks out of the room saying, Tarkin expects to meet with you regarding your failure. And you're like, oh no.
That means you're going to die.
She's going to die.
There's literally nothing you can do. You are going to die.
Yeah.
I love that Darth Vader, as scary as he is, whenever he's trying to, like, pass on the, like, punishment to someone else, he makes them seem scarier. Like, with Tarkin, he was like, he's going, you know, he wants to meet with you about your failure. And he walks out and you're like, oh, God. Even though Darth Vader is the scariest guy there, even more so than Tarkin.
Like, he can choke you from across the room.
He can choke you from across the galaxy.
But he's not the big bad, he's just the dragon. The big bad always needs to be scarier than the dragon.
And remember in the movie, he shows up and the Death Star's not quite ready yet, and they're like, oh, you know, we're working as hard as we can, and he goes, you know, the Emperor's coming. He's like, the Emperor here? And he's like, yes. He's like, oh, we shall double our efforts. And he goes, let's hope you do. The Emperor is not as forgiving as I am. And you're like, oh my God, Darth Vader. That's what I'm saying. That's like a classic Darth Vader thing to kind of like, oh, somebody's going to show up and he's worse than me. See you later.
I mean, it's a great scare tactic
because
he is such an imposing, terrifying figure.
Right. It's funny. I was like laughing because I'm like, oh my God, he's passing the torch to Tarkin. Tarkin's going to kill you. Don't worry about it.
Do you ever wonder about like Vader's paperwork side of things?
I think he just has some guy who there's a designated Vader's paperwork dude. Because
they shouldn't really go into the paperwork behind like
Vader is just way too busy to be doing all of this stuff. So there's some guy that
he's
gets
got
like all of the video and audio recordings. And he's like, okay, and this is happening, and then this is on the schedule,
reports.
And he threatened this guy here, and okay, I kind of think of him as like Millie and Meryl and Trigun, the insurance girls who are following Bash to just kind of document what happens. I feel like Vader has one of those.
That would be awesome.
I would watch that show.
Yeah.
It would be neat
to see the inner workings of the HR department on the Death Star or.
You think they have one?
Star Destroyers.
College Humor has done a couple skits about, you know, what it's like being a stormtrooper.
Sure.
Essentially. And
those were
hilarious.
The droids I was looking for.
Well, and they've done things like that in, like, Robot Chicken and Family Guy and stuff.
Eddie
Izzard
had a routine about getting lunch on the death of the cantina.
trays are wet.
One of my favorite ones was in the Family Guy Star Wars special where the droids are launching out and they go, oh, there's no life forms. And he's like, oh, just let them go. And he's like, what, are we paying by the laser? Like, you could have ended the whole Star Wars thing if they would just shot R2 out of the sky, but whatever. So anyways, let's get back to this. So yeah, we see that happening and we're like, oh no, Tua's in some major trouble now. But now we're cutting back to our Rebels celebrating a nice little victory. They got some cargo. And now this is like the first time we see him like hanging out with a full like rebellion crew with like a little army. And they got like a commander and they got like people running the ship. And you're like, wow, that's legit now.
Yeah.
Kanan is way too chaotic.
Yeah.
He's chaotic good.
And he does not like it. Right. He's kind of a lone wolf. I mean, he has a little crew,
well,
but
the comparisons we kept making last season where he's a cowboy.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, a cowboy in, like, the military doesn't really necessarily work because cowboys don't take orders.
Exactly.
And oddly, I found this a little odd, is that it's Zeb is the one who seems to be liking it the most.
Well, Zeb is from, like, an army. Like, he's from, like,
he was a
military
figure.
But you kind of forget that watching him go, and then you're like, oh yeah, he had a sense of structure and he misses it.
And he misses it. And it's pretty neat to see that side of him because he's like, oh yeah, it reminds me of the good old days.
That's a guard.
And the honor guard. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. And Hera is just like, for the greater cause, it's like, no
the
matter what.
Good.
Yeah, she'll do.
Well, and she's been working Cloak and Dagger
for
so long, it probably feels really good to now be, like, open and honest.
Right,
about all
getting
this
to talk to all these people.
Stuff.
And,
to actually be able to talk to Fulcrum face-to-face.
Yes.
As opposed,
Ahsoka.
Yeah. But it's really kind of funny to see them clash about it, because Kanan's really resentful. He's like, I liked it better when it was, you know, steal from the rich, give to the poor.
Yeah.
We're just doing our own thing. Be a part of this whole thing. And in his defense, the last time he was a part of a big old thing was structure and
it
order.
It went
and
the way of the dodo.
Yeah.
The way of the Jedi.
Oh, see.
Yeah. The Jedi might have come first. This was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Exactly.
The dodos may have gone the way of the Jedi.
They've gone the way of the space dodo.
and he mentions that. And he's like, you know, last time, he's like, I've seen a war. I don't want to be a part of a war again.
It's like, dude, you've been a part of a war for the past season.
Well, yeah,
congratulations. You didn't choose this life. It chose you.
Right. Well, and so, you know, they have their little talk, and he's kind of like, just whatever, I'm going with it, because his crew's going with it, and Hera's going with it. He doesn't really have a choice now.
Mom wears the pants in this relationship. Dad just kind of has to roll with it.
Well, I think it's kind of setting a tone, just based on where we leave this episode, too, for what we can expect for the rest of the season, because we know, I won't give anything away, but we know other characters are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
The cast will be expanding this season. And I think that this is a little bit of foreshadowing in terms of how that's going to shift the group dynamic.
Well, is there anyone out there who doesn't know who's coming? I mean, if you're a fan of the show, you've probably been glued to all of the cast announcements at this point.
That's true, and they did release the trailer for the season, too.
That's
I would
true.
Be super surprised if there were fans of this show out there watching this after show
we'll talk
who
about
don't
it
know who's coming.
Towards the end, and we'll give a little spoiler, just in case you're one of those people.
When we talk about predictions and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But point being, I think that now being officially part of the entire rebellion, it's going to shift the way the group works, not only with each other, but with other people as well.
Yes. Yeah. So now we got Chopper. He rolls in and he has a transmission. It's Minister Tua basically begging the rebels for help because she knows she's dead. So she's like, please come save me. I'll trade everything. I'll trade everything. It kind of was like that little robot who rolls in.
It did feel a little like that.
So here's the fun question, because we get the scene with Callus following her with the little black floaty droid, and I hate them because they're terrifying.
Probe droids, right?
Probe droids.
No, that wasn't a probe droid. That was just like a little.
It didn't have enough sharp implements to be a probe droid, but it was
the
still
probe droids
pretty
are like the bigger ones that come
down.
Anyways,
those are not okay.
I forgot what they're called.
Maybe not okay. Scary.
Just come a little spy droid. Go ahead.
Do we think that he found out about this plan some way, or do we think that he predicted that she would do this?
I think Darth Vader predicted.
Yeah.
Because Darth Vader knows, and he's been doing this stuff for years now. He's always been so good at, like, tactics and making things happen, just kind of knowing how people will react.
He's playing Xanatos' speed chess.
He sensed her weakness. He sensed her fear. So he knows. He's playing off of that. And he knew, like, she has no one to turn to. Who would she turn to?
And these guys.
And, again, opening openly saying you're going to answer to Tarkin tomorrow,
exactly.
You know, he knows that that gives her a specific window of time to get out of Dodge.
I have to hurry up and do this, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, so I think he probably told Callus, look, just follow her, 'cause she's going to do something. And she did.
She's going to go to the bar.
Well,
like
anyone would when they know they're going to die. Callus knew exactly how to react when the plan was implemented, too.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they all knew.
So then we got, they take the babe. They're like, okay, we're because she mentioned, like, I know why the Empire really came to Lothal. And they were like, oh, yeah, because of this, take some resources. They're like, no, there's something something deeper there. And we still didn't find out what that was.
No. I get the feeling that that's part of a very long game.
Yeah.
And that we're not going to find out. I don't think it'll even be this season. I think provided that this show keeps getting renewed that we've got a hell of an end game coming.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that since we're also leaving Lothal for a little bit.
Yeah.
And again, we'll talk about that later. But because we're going away from Lothal, I think that's something that they're going to keep, you know, under their sleeve for a little bit longer until it's time to play that card.
Sure. Well, and then maybe they have to, like, big mission back to Lothal or something.
Exactly.
Well, I would see that for the season finale, actually, bookend the season. But they also mentioned the list of names that she has of rebel sympathizers.
That's true.
People that haven't been taken out because they have friends in high places or things like that. So
right. And
that
was
her collateral for, you come get me, I will give you this list of people, I know you need allies.
Yeah. And I feel like, and they even said, why wouldn't you probably go after them? And it was one more of those things kind of like, they keep their enemies close, kind of a deal.
Yeah,
where they're like
watching them.
But
they have friends in the Senate, and you can't move against that without a huge political scandal and creating even more rebels.
Yeah.
That's true. But I feel like the Empire could
could
do whatever
they could do away with them if they wanted, but then they'd
have
to deal
with
the repercussions.
Why do they even still have senators? He's the emperor now. Do you think he even cares what senators are doing? Does he take their votes into consideration? Is that how an empire works?
It's the illusion of power. It's like how we vote for people in the House, but the Republicans still win.
Okay, let's. So the Empire.
Katie's
changing the game here.
No, the game's always been there.
Anyway.
I would say it's all of them doing whatever they want.
Yeah.
So anyway.
This is why you vote, ladies and gentlemen.
They hijack a shuttle. Well, they didn't hijack it. Sorry. They just borrowed a shuttle.
Have it.
Wherever they got it. They got a shuttle. They can't fly Ghost in there because after their Mustafar mission, the Empire is tracking their signal or whatever. So they're like, they can fly on a little commuter bus. And,
It pretty much is. It's a bus.
Yeah, it's a bus. It's a shuttle. So that's what it is. So they're going to fly in like that and disguise themselves a little bit so they can get into the system and go and pick her up and, you know, save her and take off. They think, oh, we've got a smooth little plan. Because everything the Rebels have done so far has worked almost flawlessly.
They've had a few failures.
A little few here and there, but for the most part, when they make a cool little plan, it usually works. Maybe they have to tweak it a little bit on the fly, but
usually, and then occasionally the Inquisitor shows up and everything goes to hell, but he's super dead, so we don't have to worry about him.
Right. So they're flying in, and the first thing when they're getting down there is Ezra senses Darth Vader. He doesn't know who it is. He's like, I feel cold. He's like, what is that? And Kanan's even like,
Okay.
We're going to keep doing it. 30 degrees. Here, what's going on? What's that shiver down my spine?
Why does this feel like impending doom?
Wow.
How is impending doom an emotion? I don't know, but I'm feeling it right now.
And it's cold.
It's very
cold. So they get down there and, you know, they start doing their little rebel routine, setting up, and everybody's taking corners, and Kanan, you know, he pulls his little cocky, let me go around the corner and make some friends with some stormtroopers.
Make some friends. It'll be fun.
He loves making friends with stormtroopers. He does this all the time. He just always walks up to him and puts his arm around him.
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
How do they not all know his face at this point? Like, seriously.
I don't know. He's so fast.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that they've, shown their face as, like, you know, universe's most wanted, right?
Yeah. Well, they definitely did later in this episode, so he'll never be able to do that again, but
I don't know if that broadcast went past Lothal, so he might be able to pull it somewhere else.
That's true. Well, anyways, he knocks the stormtrooper out and steals his whole suit. And by the way, it changed very quickly.
It's one with an orange pauldron. Doesn't that mean they're
usually
higher ranked?
Well,
something?
I don't even think we ever see those, except on Tatooine, and there were sand troopers, but I don't know. Maybe it's something I missed, but yeah.
Because he seemed like,
I don't know, you
like
fill us in.
I was going to say, like anybody, a squad commander.
Yeah. If anybody out there knows, feel free to let us know.
Please, tweet
at us
something.
Because we don't know.
Yeah, it obviously means something.
Yeah.
It just looks cool.
But, yeah.
Yeah. He's wearing the orange pauldron because we need to know that it is
canon. Well, I think it does.
There.
It must be a higher rank because when he talks to the stormtrooper a little bit later, the other stormtrooper kind of gives him a little, like, oh, hey.
Yeah, straightens up a little
right.
bit.
Right. Like, which, by the way, was hilarious. That whole part right there where Kanan and Ezra kind of are sneaking in, and Ezra's in like a little recruit outfit.
A cadet
outfit.
A little cadet outfit.
And, that's later on, though, isn't it?
Well, it's a little bit past that. Let's
talk about the big thing that actually happened before we go, because that's when they're trying to steal
true.
A transport
You're right.
out.
You're right. That's when they're trying to get out. Okay,
yeah.
So.
Let's talk about the explosive feelings we all felt.
So, yeah. Well, that's later. Oh, but you mean the explosive feelings.
Yeah, the action, yes.
I see what she did there.
It took you that long?
I see. I was already ahead because I was thinking about that fun conversation with Kanan and Ezra.
I was also thinking about the Vader fight, so. Like,
yeah, we'll dial it back. We'll dial it back.
Let's talk about the fact that we had a main character
die on
screen.
So now they're
let's talk about that.
Here they are, infiltrating, trying to get in, we find out that Callus is actually escorting Minister Tua, so it's like, it's going to be a little bit tougher.
Can't take too many risks with security nowadays.
Yeah.
Like,
he knew it, obviously.
Yeah.
So Sabine hops down. She gives a little distraction. Kanan rushes in, shuts the door so that other stormtroopers can't get in. And, you know, they start blasting around for a little bit. And just when they're running to jump on the shuttle, luckily none of the rebels went
first.
Because
she's the asset they need to protect.
So they're like, get to the shuttle, we're coming right behind you.
Get to the chopper.
And then, boom!
No more chopper.
Dead.
Yeah, no, this was super dark. Again, like, I was already feeling bad for her at the beginning of the episode, and then it's like,
she's dead.
Yeah, she's dead.
Because she is super dead. She is not coming back.
And then Callus goes, you did this, or like, this was your fault, or something.
To the rebels, for the benefit of the stormtroopers, I think, because at that point, the doors opened.
Yeah, none of the grunts have been let in on the plan.
Right.
Of course not.
So, to them, it does just look like
an act
of terrorism.
That's true. That's good. I didn't think about that. But because they did play it off, Darth Vader told them to then broadcast it out to everyone on Lothal that it was an assassination and that these rebels are now like assassins.
Exactly.
It's like, was she really a beloved local senator, or was she someone that they kind of took and went, now you're in charge? Because if the people didn't really care about her, knowing that she's
even
dead,
if you don't care
like,
about him, it's still one thing to have a rebel group that's like fighting for like heroic things versus a rebel group that just shows up and kills people.
That's true.
And that's the thing is she was an elected public official.
Was she elected?
I don't know, but she was a public official, and it is completely different to have rebels who are like, guys, we are fighting the good fight because the Empire is oppressing us, and we have to do. And it's one thing to like fight stormtroopers; it's a completely different thing to like lock on to a political figure and assassinate them.
Yeah.
That is a very different statement. That is a very different
level
of warfare. And again, for anybody who might have been like teetering on whether or not to join the rebellion, for them, that's like, wow, they just killed this innocent person just doing their job. And I can't be a part of that.
You think you're helping the merry men and then they turn out to be ISIS.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone said in the chat that the troopers with the shoulders are sergeants.
Okay, so, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Sarge! I like it.
And we have
Bella
Luna 1974 on Twitter saying commander or commander ranking.
Okay, so that's the idea. They're higher ranking. They're not just a regular old trooper. So it makes sense. And then, you know, that's why later when they're, we'll talk about that in a second. But after that blows up, they hop, they're like, Zeb, we need out of here because, I mean, the ship's gone. Now they have no way out.
We gotta go.
Zeb rushes over with Chopper, and they hop on, and they're shooting them, and they're playing their shuttle. I mean, it's just a shuttle. It's not like a regular ship. So
it has no shields. It has no weapons.
Yeah, so
it's
they're kind of getting blasted a little bit, and as they're flying out, they got that, like, old school model of a AT-ST, just blasts them out of the sky. And then that to me was the turning point in this episode where I thought, oh man, like these guys are actually having a hard time now. Like the one thing, the ship exploding, usually something like that would happen, then they'd get away. And then they'd have to deal with it later and come back and figure out
how to process it a little
bit. But this was like they couldn't escape.
They're trying to get away, and then they get shot down. Now they're stranded in the streets.
I think that's also compounded with the fact that we know that Vader's there.
If this had
happened and it was just Callus in charge, it would still be, okay, you know, Callus, but we'll take him out eventually.
Right, we saw all the ship explode and all that stuff, we saw Vader looking down, like he was watching this.
Knowing that Vader's there. That's what makes this
dance
really
from a dance.
So then they run out in the streets, and he even talks to Vader, I think, right after that. And he was like, "Everything that you said is happening." And he's like, "Yes, we'll keep, you know, we'll close the fist." What did he say? Something about that? Like,
we will squeeze it until someone spits them out.
It's awesome. And he kept doing all those hand motions, and there were such, like, Vader hand motions. Like, everything he did. They're robot hands.
They're not very flexible.
Well, and James Earl Jones.
Yeah, James Earl Jones.
They got him back, and it's amazing.
It wouldn't be the same without him.
How great is it to... Because, you played some of the, like, Star Wars video games, and it's somebody who kind of sounds like James Earl Jones, but it doesn't have that gravitas. Mm-hmm. It just sounds so wonderful to have him back, and it's like...
That's what makes it even scarier.
When you hear Vader's voice, you pay attention.
Yes, and you get scared.
All of those things.
With Vader there, too, I also now... Like, as soon as Vader starts showing up in this series, I also just started being like, wow, there's a good chance that everyone's going to die.
Yeah.
Because
100%.
He's serious, and he
I still
kills
think Ahsoka's going to get it.
And
I know, I know you hate that theory, but she's not in the movies.
You're the worst.
They bring people... I've seen too much Red versus Blue to hope. They bring people back to kill them. I honestly think we're going to have the climactic battle, and she's not going to come out the other
side of it. We can talk about that in predictions. Not now.
I'll tell you what. The after show of that is going to be me with my head on the desk while you guys do the show.
This is going to be filled with whiskey.
I'm going to be drunk.
Well, we're going to break in the conversation. Let's talk about surveys.
Oh, okay. We should do that, guys. You know, look, we love being here. We love being here. We love doing this. But, you know, we're part of a bigger system here. We got to have people supporting us. We love it when you tweet at us. We love it when you talk to us, leave us comments. Join us in our show, like all you guys in our chat room right now. That's awesome. Thank you for being there. You guys get to keep chatting and talking about the show while we talk about the show. So it builds like a sense of community, and it's really good and it's really nice, and that's what helps us keep coming back. And, you know, there's other shows that you guys might watch, and there's shows in the future that will keep coming. So as long as we keep building this community, we can keep getting new shows and more hosts and more guests, because, like, we've had guests, and they're wonderful
human beings.
Yeah, so, you know, and it helps us get more guests. So let's talk about Podcast One for a second here. Like I said, we love when you tweet at us. We love it when you comment with us. We try to read as much as we can, and sometimes we even try to give you shout-outs and stuff. But we also have a survey over at Podcast One right now, and it's a very important listener survey. And it's at podcastone.com.
PODCASTONE.com.
And your responses will help us make the show better. It'll help make all the other shows better, help make the network better. It's really nice. And if you have the time, please, you know, help us out. It only takes about 3 minutes. And, you know, you get, like I said, you get the instant gratification that knows that you helped us. Because, you know, we do this for free. We do this because we love this. We love talking about our shows, and we love interacting with you guys, because it's like sometimes I'm sitting at home and I'm watching a show by myself and I don't have friends that watch it. And I come in, like, right, look, with this show, really, I don't have any friends that watch it except for you guys.
I know.
And everyone on the...
My brain just kind of cut up after I don't have friends. Which is not true.
Just, I don't have friends that watch this show.
No, I hear you 100%.
I know. They're losers. And I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Friends?
Well, I know. Look, I said besides you.
I'm just giving you this.
Give Dylan grief day for Katie.
Yeah, and from people online. Apparently that other person was hassling me earlier. Anyways.
Yeah, we've got someone
so
hassling
us
for not reading the
you
comments.
You can tell us how you feel about the show. You can tell us about whatever show you like or watch here at AfterBuzz and how we can improve it and things like that. So anyways, that is podcastone.com, PODCASTONE.com. And, yeah, keep tweeting at us. Keep talking to us.
Speaking of iTunes, we actually got one comment since we've been off the air.
Yay!
We've got several comments on iTunes, and I don't think we've read them out loud that, but I think we read them during the last episode. So
sure.
Yeah, I wanted to go ahead and read this comment.
Go ahead.
I've got a good feeling about this by Solo182.
Aww.
I found out about your podcast 9 episodes in, but I'm all caught up now. Can't wait till season 2. Thanks to all of you. You make a good team. Keep up the great job. May the force be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Hey,
lift
them up your hearts.
And you can tell who's raised Roman Catholic.
Jeez.
We do have, and I from Haywood W, from HW View, the person who was hassling you earlier on Periscope. So wait, Ahsoka going to sacrifice herself to save the rebels.
Mm.
If it's going to go down, that's how I see it.
Well, we'll say that for predictions.
We'll see. We'll talk about it.
Megan, go ahead.
Oh, well, speaking of crazy battles. There are tons of fights in this episode. Hey, guys, we want to tell you about something really cool and exciting. You can now apply to Dance Battle America, ABC's newest competition special. From our very own AfterBuzz founder and e-host Maria Menounos and Julianne Hough from Dancing with the Stars comes ABC's special Dance Battle America. During the holiday seasons over the last 2 years, Julianne and Maria have engaged in a fearsome dance battle via social media. Once the challenge took off, celebrities like Kate Hudson and Amber Riley joined in, and a dance battle craze began. Now the ladies are challenging everyone in America to battle it out for the chance to fly to Los Angeles and compete on the dance show. Here's the opportunity of a lifetime. If you want the chance to dance on network television, go to www.dancebattleamericacasting.com for more information on how to submit your video. And don't forget to also post it on social media using the hashtag DanceBattleABC.
I saw some of those videos that they were posting on Instagram.
They're hilarious. Funny, right? They're just a hoot.
So this show is actually probably going to be pretty funny when it makes its way. So yeah, guys, you like dancing and you like battling.
I hereby challenge somebody to do a dance battle to, like, one of the Star Wars techno remixes. I think that would be awesome.
I challenge someone to do a dance battle that's more battle than dance.
Ooh.
Hey, do it to it.
Wow.
Fight, fight, fight!
Kiss, kiss, kiss.
With sweet moves.
If you can somehow incorporate a lightsaber into your dance routine, bonus points.
Well, yeah, baton twirlers.
Yeah, that'd
think
be great.
About that. Anyways,
let's get back to this.
People are dead now.
Oh, my God.
People are
Minister
super Tua dead.
Just exploded. Now they got to get out of there. Luckily, they're still in their little stormtrooper outfits and whatnot, so they can try to sneak past some guards. And this is finally where we get to that fun little conversation, which I thought was hilarious. So they're trying to sneak in all the other guys in, like, some boxes, and Kanan and Ezra are pushing.
We missed an emotional moment here, and I think it's worth talking about.
Which one?
Ezra's house.
Because that's
where they went to lay low, and then
the troopers I didn't really feel emotional about that. You know why? Because they've already found that before. They've already found them there. I thought it was stupid that they even went back in the first place.
But it's Ezra's reaction with the, I really can't go home. Because that's the last bit he's had of his parents, is that house and that broadcasting station and what they would do.
To me, so, I had that last time. I felt like that last time. And now it's just like, oh, you're just bringing this back up again.
True, but it's one thing to be like, okay, they found it, and another thing to be like, that is gutted and destroyed, and that is the last remnant of his life
before
the rebels happened.
They blew it up.
You know what it is? It's like when Luke returned home and he found it in ruins and his aunt and uncle were dead. It reminds
me
of that.
Still unexplained, by the way. No one ever explained that.
Nope.
Stormtroopers don't disintegrate people.
No, they just burn the bodies.
When was the last time you saw some stormtroopers burning bodies?
Well, gee, there was an explosion a few minutes ago.
Point being, it was
the homestead was not exploding.
It's kind of a parallel because Ezra is essentially our Luke Skywalker of this series.
Yeah.
So to me, it was more of a parallel. I agree with you, Dylan. I felt more of an emotional heartache the last time we were at Ezra's home, but I totally see your point.
I think that's a beat that
it's
we can't skip
over.
It's now
burned to the ground.
Yeah,
I think that's a beat we can't skip over for Ezra. Just because we weren't like, oh no, doesn't mean that it doesn't factor into his character development, because now he feels like he doesn't have a
you're
home.
Right. Now it's gone forever. Yeah. Now, even if the Empire goes away, he comes back, it's still blown up.
And that's again, there's so much about this particular special in that we've reached the point of no return.
Yeah.
Yes.
With a
and
lot
that's
of
just
things,
yeah,
right.
And that's just another thing to kind of add to that little tally.
And you know, and they did mention that it was like there's no more hiding now. Like
if they know about this hideout, they
know
about
all the other hideouts. So now they just got to go. They just got to get out of there as fast as possible.
And the plan is to sneak into the Imperial complex.
Right.
Because everyone else is going to be spread out and divided and conquered, they're going to go in the place that's going to have the least presence.
Even though that was all Darth Vader's plan. And that's exactly why it was set up like that.
He's playing Xanatos speed chess. It's kind of amazing. So talk about your favorite conversation.
Yes!
Now that we're there.
Let's do this. Kanan and Ezra sneaking in with their boxes. They got the rebels in there, and they're dressed up like a stormtrooper and a little cadet. And, you know, they run up, and he's like, hey, where are you going with these? And, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, just bringing them in. And then the cadet starts to push them, and he goes, hey, wait a minute, I got to look inside of these. And Ezra just hops out.
I got this.
And he says,
you don't have to look inside.
This is what he says. He says, no, you don't have to check inside.
And he does a little hand motion, too.
He just, like, pushes him, and he says, did you just try to give me an order, cadet? And then Kanan, like, you know, hurriedly jumps inside. And I don't know if you were, I, like, rewound and watched it a couple times, but when Ezra's doing that, Kanan's in the background going, like, what? Like, is he really trying this right now?
Okay, commenters, I want a gif of that. And then, seriously.
And then Kanan steps in, and he says, no, he just said, you don't have to check inside. And it was so much more, like, demanding, and you're like, oh, yeah, he really knows what he's doing. And then the stormtrooper's like, I don't have to check inside.
And we're all like, thank you, Steve Bloom.
And Ezra says,
Steve Bloom.
I wish that worked for me. And Kanan says, I wish that worked on you. And that, their interactions between each other are some of my favorite parts about this show. Like, they did this in the last season where they would go back and forth. Like, with the Inquisitor ship.
You worry me sometimes, kid.
Yeah. Or when the Inquisitor ship.
He's not going to be using it.
Yeah. This is the Inquisitor ship. Oh, he's not going to be using it. He's like,
What is wrong with you?
You're a weirdo.
Are you okay, small child? No, I am super traumatized by everything.
So now they're in the base. They're running through. You got some stormtroopers talking about, like, oh, I wonder if we can find him. We gotta, you know, search him. And all of a sudden, Zeb's there. Boom!
Found me.
You're like, oh, nice. Get some Zeb smashing some stormtroopers. That's always
good. Take another shot. And just take a shot every time Steve Bloom is a stormtrooper. I'm not over this. He has so many stormtroopers.
What about Steve Bloom is a stormtrooper that's killed by a character that is also Steve Bloom.
Steve Bloom is just constantly killing himself.
See, that's the point where you do a double shot or you down the whole drink.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But when it's just Steve Bloom as a stormtrooper, there are so many of those.
So far, their plan's working. And they get out there, and there's a shuttle just waiting for them like they thought there would be. And they start to make a run for it, and then they find some shield generators, which is a nice little find, like some military-grade shield generators. They're like, oh, man, we could really use this for our rebellion.
Now, does this remind you of, like, in video games, you have the ante room before the boss fight, and maybe there's a nice piece of equipment in there, or there's a potion, or there's something, and you're like, the music has changed, and there's a save point here. Something is super wrong, because it's like, you got this brand new equipment,
right.
That's like, no, the boss fight's going to happen. Guys, go.
Well, you're right. The boss fight does happen. They start pushing the shield generators on, and the best is that Kanan just stops, like, dead in his tracks, just stops. And then Ezra picks it up, like, a second later, but it was just cool to see Kanan be like, doof. And then Ezra turn around and goes, do you feel that? And then they both turn around.
How could you not?
The most, like, epic shot of, like, Darth Vader just standing in a doorway, and it's all dark, and all you see is him, and then his red lightsaber comes on.
Oh, the framing is amazing.
One hell of an entrance. Just amazing.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, you're like, this is so cool, that's great framing, look at this shot, and on the other hand, you're like, we're all gonna die.
They're all dead.
Well, I remember sitting down and watching the trailer for season 2, and this was just the point. Like, there were several several points when the entire audience just went nuts when we were there.
That was one of them.
And that was definitely one of them.
Right.
And yeah, you feel, like I said, gravitas.
Yeah.
You definitely feel the gravitas of the situation. And yeah, it's just all sorts of
You feel the power of Darth
and
Vader.
And the reaction of the room, because again, we saw it at Star Wars weekends and just sitting there and hearing the whole room kind of go, oh.
Yeah. No.
How much, like, what was it, like 1,000 people in that
room?
The whole room
yeah.
just like, oh, this is bad.
Oh, no. I remember them talking about the making of, like, the show, and they were talking about how to bring Darth Vader into, like, a cartoon show and not make him
cartoony.
Seem weak or, like, or also him being the villain, but never really losing. You can't make Darth Vader lose, because if he loses his,
again,
like power.
It's the stakes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Every time he's there, the stakes are high because he's so powerful.
Right. So,
and because he's so competent.
So you can't, like, you know, we lose our heroes if he just walked out and killed him in the first episode. So you can't have that. But you can't have them, like, beat Darth Vader, because then Darth Vader becomes less of, you know, and that would make him build up to the movies, and you wouldn't even, like, be afraid of him.
It would diminish him,
and we didn't really have him beating Darth Vader at this point. They just outsmarted the people on the ship.
That's what I'm talking about, is that they did this, I think, perfectly.
Yeah.
And they even put the fear into our heroes of Darth Vader, showing that, yeah, they got away, but they knew that they barely got away.
Yeah.
And that they barely escaped with their lives.
I liked what Kanan said, like, fight him. We were lucky to survive.
Exactly. Yeah.
And something else that I think they talked about in the press conference was just the way that, like, because you can't necessarily make Vader super fast either.
Yes.
That he's very slow and very powerful.
Right.
And that was something that they wanted
he's
to
menacing.
Convey, too. Because he is such a powerhouse. And I think they did that really, really well.
And they did, and what's fun is they even showed how he's so trained and Kanan and Ezra are not. Because even when, like, in the movies, Darth Vader fights with Obi-Wan and Luke, he kind of he uses two hands when he fights with his legs. He was fighting Kanan most of the time with one hand. Just kind of like, I'm just going through the motions here.
Why were people having trouble with you guys? Honestly. This would be super boring if I weren't reveling
like,
in the fact
so the
that
first,
I'm going to murder you.
He just knocks Kanan around. He blocks him, and then with his other hand, like, it just picks him up in the air. And you're like, oh my god.
Squeezes his wrist to make him drop the lightsaber.
And then
that's
him across
both of Kanan's wrists in one
in
hand.
In one
it's like,
giant Darth Vader hand. And then Ezra runs up, which was really ridiculous. But it was funny because
Ezra.
He kind of just swiped him away, and then he pushing
how?
The saber into his
yeah,
throat.
No.
Oh, I was like, oh my god.
That
was like,
a great trailer shot, let's be real.
That is the end of our series right there.
Yeah, that could have been it.
Good night, everyone.
Vader decapitated our protagonist with his own lightsaber.
And he says, like, your master
lied to you
and fooled you. And it's like,
oh, he told you could be a Jedi. He lied.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Oh, you're adorable. You're going to die, but you're adorable.
He definitely, like, handed it to him. The only thing that saved them was that they had a team, that they had Zeb and Sabine, and they threw some grenades in and knocked out those.
And some dumb luck, yeah.
Talk about the other really, really good shot. The AT-STs falling over and Vader just kind of lifting them up with the Force with all the explosions behind him.
They caused a distraction that made Vader look away for 1 second, and that's when they double Force pushed him, and that's the only way they could have ever, like, knocked him down.
Yeah.
And so they got lucky, and then, yeah, he caught that stuff. And he stands up without even a scratch. And Ezra says,
no big deal.
If that doesn't kill him, what will? And Kanan goes, not us. We're out. Like, we gotta get out of here. We will not be the death of Darth Vader. We gotta go.
Not today.
It's like, he has plot armor. He's gonna be in the movies, guys. We need to leave.
Yeah, so they get out of there. And that's, like you said, they get on there and he's like, what was that? And he was like, was that an Inquisitor? He says, no, it was something worse. It was a Sith Lord, the ancient enemy of the Jedi. And he says, well, how do we find him? And he's like, find him? What, are you crazy? Like, we were lucky to survive. And it's true. They were very lucky to even get out of there. And I almost feel like Oh, well, he did. I don't know why I'm saying I almost feel like he did let them. He could have killed them
while they were walking
away.
Yeah.
He let them get away on purpose so that they could track the ship.
A tracker on the shuttle,
exactly.
And then they get out using Lando's help, and essentially leads the fleet right back to the rebels.
Well, yeah, so...
Which, good job,
they
everyone.
Call Lando up to help him get out, and they go over there, and... they see that they burned Tarkin Town to the ground, which is all a refugee camp, which was really messed up. But they
let's go burn some homeless people.
You know, and they Kanan even tells them, like, everything we do has a consequence now. They're trying to inspire fear to everyone and shun them out of society. Because even if you like them, you would still want them to go away because you don't want them to like hang out because they'll burn your town down.
Exactly.
So they've pushed them out. And I heard some people in the chat talking, and I even noticed this. Did you guys notice Lando's droid kind of sounded kind of a... Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna
Lando's
say, who
and we're like, what?
Lando programmed that. Lando thinks it's cool.
That's fine. Okay, whatever.
We made a drone in Lando's image because Lando's like, yeah, me.
I did like the one Lando little smooth joke where he picks up, he's like, oh, Miss Captain Syndulla, and he kind of does a smooth operator to Hera, and Kanan goes, like, this isn't a social call, Lando.
If it were a social call, she wouldn't be talking to you.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not even close to her league, bro.
So they're Sabine comes up with a plan. They drop off some, like, beacons that are masked with the signal of their ship so that they can put them all over. So
distractions.
It's a big distraction.
Like duck decoys.
And then they get out. So they get away. But that was Vader's plan. He knew they would get away. And then they track them. And this is awesome because they show up and they got like a little fleet here, and Vader just shows up by himself. He's just like, I'm gonna roll in by myself in my fighter.
You gotta remember
back in the Clone Wars and even in the movies they talk about it a little bit, but Anakin is an expert. He's like one of the best pilots that there's ever been.
Well, not to reference episode 1.
He kind of blew up a thing
anything.
When he was 9.
Yeah.
Okay, that was like all on autopilot, but still.
Still, because I got the child prodigy thing going on.
Yeah,
so,
anyways,
he won a pod race.
Yeah, well, he did. He was a pod racer, I guess. You're right.
Anyway, so really good flyer, and that has obviously not diminished with the additional robotic limbs.
They get out there, and, well, maybe now he's even more. He's got all these crazy things in his helmet.
Yeah, who knows?
So he just starts wrecking the Phoenix Squadron. Like, they're flying out there. He's taking them all out. He's doing all these crazy flip reverse moves and shooting them. And
the squadron, and he takes out the command ship.
Yeah,
he takes out their drive.
Because he knows where to shoot, and that's a throwback to episode 2, where he's like, aim for, that spot, and they do it, and it blows up, and Obi-Wan's like, oh, good job. Like, so we know that he knows how to take people out.
Yeah, he's been fighting wars for a long time, guys.
So they're like, let's go hop on the Ghost. Hera's like, I can take them. Because Hera is, an awesome pilot herself. So she's like, I can do this. These guys are fools.
And Ahsoka tags along.
So Ahsoka, hey, can I come along? Sure. Okay, cool.
More the merrier.
We'll all die together.
When they all check in, gunner ready, back gunner, front turret ready, Hera says, all right.
Make mom and dad proud.
I was like, oh, yeah.
They're family.
And Ahsoka's just chilling in the front. And Ahsoka's the first
cool
one
aunt.
That says, oh, the Force is strong with this one. Like, she kind of like, oh, she sensed it. And she's like, yeah, but it's like real strong. Let's double up and try to see if we can figure out how strong
it's like
he is.
Hand on the shoulder, figuring it out.
And I like this moment of unexperienced Kanan going like, what do we do? And she goes, just remember your training. You know, like, she's like, come on.
I love that. That's the most vague advice you could possibly get.
He's like, okay, think back to when I was 14.
Boy, that was like, 15 years of trauma ago?
Yeah, exactly. So they then start focusing in. And Ezra has that realization, like, wow, I felt this before. And he goes, oh, it's that guy. It's the guy. I feel the cold.
The build-up, though,
it was just
this
slow.
Moment, because we know, and anybody who's seen the Clone Wars knows the relationship between these two. And so we know, and it's just building and building, and then Vader turns his head
slightly. It was like, you see Ahsoka's face where she makes this kind of, like, questioned, like, look.
Which, how great is the animation on this? To be able to convey all of this with, like, very minimal dialogue.
It was like she sensed it, but there was something different about it, and she kind of made this question look, but her force signature is the same. Like, she's not turned all super evil now. And he kind of just goes, And boom, like with that look, and he goes, "The apprentice lives." And when he says that, Ahsoka just
backlash wiped her out.
It was so like that hit her so hard she just fainted.
And that's another one of those things where holy cow, Vader is scary because Ahsoka's the strongest Jedi we have on the team and probably one of the best fighters, and she is down.
Yeah.
Screaming.
Because, I mean, in her whole mind, he's been gone for a long time. She doesn't know what happened to him. Who knows what happened?
I found him.
Crap. Because she wasn't around even when he turned evil and, like, killed all the younglings and all that. So she has no idea. So she just imagined that he died with all the other Jedi.
And
he kind of did.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but when we were watching at Star Wars Celebration, when we were watching before our panel today, and even just now talking about it, I got goosebumps.
I know.
Every single time. And it's just
I remember sitting there and seeing it, and I'm like thinking in my head, like, this is happening. This is happening. They are about to sense each other. I've been, you know, waiting for, like, when they sense each other, like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And I mean, it was like a punch in the heart. Because if you go through all the Clone Wars and you know their relationship, they're like, not only are they like, you know, master and apprentice, but they're like best buds. Like, they would did anything to try and save each other. And it was like, you know, like a brother sister, like a really older brother sister kind of a relationship. Yeah. So it was hard. And knowing that Vader is just a complete different, like, he's just like, the princess lives. Like, he doesn't care.
This is like the first time since the first original trilogy that we've seen him be so dissociative about talking about Anakin stuff, because we really didn't go into that in episode 3, but he has completely dissociated what Anakin was from who
Skywalker's
he is now.
Skywalker's apprentice.
Exactly. Yes. Anakin's son.
Exactly. You know? He refers to himself, like, in the third person as if that person is dead. Exactly.
Vader is a different entity. And Anakin kind of is dead.
Right. And that goes into the whole Obi-Wan saying, like, your dad's dead when he told Luke that, even though he wasn't. But anyways.
Best plot twist ever.
That was a crazy moment. This show. This is the premiere.
Yeah.
We got a whole season of this.
We are in deep. We are in deep.
So, real quick, let's go over some of the stuff that might be coming up soon.
Should we talk about really quick how they make their getaway? Because I know we got to wrap up.
Oh, but yeah, that was kind of a little. We'll do it real quick. They so that they obviously are flying straight back at the Star Destroyers and the Star Destroyers.
Between two of them.
Yeah, right, because they're going to slip right in between. And she knew, Hera knew that they were going to try to tractor beam them. So she puts all the hyperdrive power straight into the.
And they catch Vader.
And they catch Vader instead. It's like a little fly trap, and they miss it.
I feel so bad for that guy. He's like, we cut Lord Vader's ship, and the commander's, just the look on his face, like, crap.
Really,
don't worry.
Like,
okay,
it's not your fault. But Lord Vader doesn't know that.
And
this
know that.
Poor guy is just like, I am going to die because I followed orders.
Yep, I'm never going to cash in my 401k. Damn it.
Nope. Better transfer that over.
We got the season coming up. It starts back in the fall, probably, in October-ish, I think?
I think so.
And I think I heard that it was going to be a little bit longer of this season, a few more episodes.
Hoping.
So we got all kinds of things coming. Spoiler alert, so don't listen if you don't want to hear this. But we got
Rex
back. Yeah! And we got, what's his name? God, now I forgot his name because I'm trying to wrap things up here, so I forgot his name. Anyways, we got this cool space pirate. I can't remember his name. Oh, Hondo. He's awesome. So we got Hondo. We got Rex. It's going to be great. We're going to probably see more Ahsoka, more Darth Vader. Oh, at the end, we even saw a little bit of the Emperor. That was exciting.
Yes.
I saw a picture on Facebook that the Star Wars Rebels people put out, and it was like them taking picture in a room, and they had like a Kanan statue, and right next to it was a very Rebels animated Princess Leia statue.
Nice.
So think we're
gonna
get some of that.
My kingdom for that.
We need that because I want to see her in the rebellion before the events of the first
movie. That's the idea. I mean, she's old enough. She's like 14 or 15.
That would be
she's
great.
She's Ezra's age or a little bit older.
And then we've got a ton of
it's
really
gonna be good,
great stuff.
And thanks for coming. I'm glad we got to do this in the middle of the summer to kind of bridge the gap here. But we'll be back this fall. It'll be awesome. Until then, ladies, why don't you tell the people where they can find you?
My name's Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. And I am on the Robots in Disguise and Red vs. Blue after shows. Red vs. Blue will be next week, but Robots in Disguise is in an hour, 5 p.m. Hey.
And I'm Megan. You can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. Also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, including Robots in Disguise, Sailor Moon, right after this. And if you guys haven't checked them out already, please be sure to check out our Star Wars Celebration coverage to get all the interviews with the cast crew, because they were amazing.
And that is on AfterBuzz TV's YouTube channel.
Exactly.
There
so
you go,
be
guys.
Sure to check those out.
And once again, I'm Dylan Chance, and thanks for watching with us. You can find me on Twitter at Dylan Chance. And until next time, like always, may the Force be with you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.